Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic here on this Tuesday. The draft coming up Thursday night, and a man that knows a thing or two about going through the draft, Mark Dominic, is with us. Former NFL general manager, and I've also been told to say he has the Jared Stillman stamp of approval. Mark, good morning. Thanks for so much for doing this.
Morning, Mark.
Yeah, happy to jump on with you. Can't believe we're this close to the draft, but excited to watch it unfold.
So, I you know, now that you're kind of on this side, the dark side with the media and do all this, you can play the hypothetical game with this. But if you were the general manager of the Titans, if you're Rand Carthon, and there's a quarterback, one of the top four quarterbacks that you like, how would you plan draft night in order to try and strike on one of those guys?
Yeah, I think you've got to pre-plan if you've got that mentality. If you like one of these four or even five quarterbacks, depending on where you have them on your board, you have already set the groundwork for a possible trade, meaning you've reached out to maybe Brad Holmes with the Detroit Lions, the general manager there, maybe Terry Fontenot wants to move out of eight for whatever reason with the Atlanta Falcons. You call Monty Austinport, right? Obviously a former local Titan, and just kind of see what the value and what the cost is, not acting overly excited, but just saying, hey, look, we're considering it, but we just want to see what the asking price is. And then you kind of reconfirm that again this week of, hey, you know what, we may want to get there depending on what the board looks like. So again, just want to make sure that we're still talking on the same page. And that way you've kind of got the trade kind of in pencil. And then Thursday morning or mid-afternoon, usually you will let the club try to reach back out to you. Usually that club that's kind of generating the trades trying to figure out, you know, can I get more? And so you just play patient all day Thursday. You don't call back, and then you wait for the clock to come in and to pick before you make the call back out to the Arizona Cardinals, the Chicago Bears, whoever it might be, Detroit Lions, and say, hey, look, we're still considered. The board looks good based off of the next pick, but what are you guys? Are we still good to go? And I did that a long time ago in Tampa with the Bucks, and it worked out, and we were able to use that fourth-round pick to actually get Lavonte David.
Not a bad pick at all for you. Talking to Mark Dominic, a former NFL general manager. So the quarterbacks that I feel come up with the Titans are Will Levis and Anthony Richardson the most. Obviously, there are more, and they've talked to him. Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have done their due diligence. But how would you rank Levis compared to Anthony Richardson?
Well, I think Levis can go out and play more week one or week two or week three, where Richardson, I think, needs a little bit more time. And it's because you've got to decide what the package is around Richardson. But also, you've got to realize that he hasn't seen the amount of opportunities in his college career in terms of pocket passing, making decisions, you know, being the elite athlete of almost this entire draft class. Anthony Richardson certainly brings a skill set that you just can't find. But I don't want to over-rush him and make him feel like he's drowning and then kind of ruin the young player. There's a lot of excitement to be with Anthony Richardson or to have with Anthony Richardson. I think Levis is more good to go week one or week two, like I said, because I think Will is just going to be, can he, with hopefully a better supporting cast, not make the little critical errors we saw him make sometimes in Kentucky where he had no chance to win the game and he forced a turnover. And so that's where the difference is. It depends on where your patience level is. I think the Titans are unique, kind of like the Seattle Seahawks. You can go with Geno Smith. You can go with Ryan Tannehill for another season and let a young player develop. But if I'm Rand Carthon, I don't think I'm being aggressive about these two quarterbacks. I'm kind of letting them come to me because I do know that the next year's class is a really loaded class. If this class is good, I think next year's is even better. And so I don't force it to happen. I let it happen. And I think that's an important part that GMs have to do in these draft classes.
Mark Dominic joins us right now. Mark, you mentioned letting a quarterback come to you. So say the Tennessee Titans are at 11 and a quarterback falls and they decide to draft him, but also keep Ryan Tannehill. How beneficial do you think it can be to young quarterbacks to not have to step on the field, take a snap in their first year, and just learn and be a sponge in the organization?
Well, I think it's helpful. I mean, I'm a big believer that the young quarterback needs to play somewhat in year one. There's one thing to teach a quarterback from the classroom is like, well, what would have you done there? Well, I would have made this great decision. Well, of course you would have because you're sitting in a chair. You're not out there on the field watching it happen. I mean, even Patrick Mahomes played his rookie year and threw, what, two or three interceptions against Denver. But you saw, like, wow, this guy can sling it. He has no fear, and he knows where to put the football. And it just, I think it helped Patrick, you know, really take that massive step, as we saw. And obviously Patrick's a great player. But I think it's important for them to get a little bit. But I do think in this kind of situation, knowing Tannehill and the type of person he is, he's not going to sit there and like, hey, come take my job, buddy. But he's not going to be a bad person in the locker room. And it's a way for a player, especially a college guy, to kind of come hear the NFL. Because it's not just posters on the sideline and signaling in and just kind of running the play. It's the constant communication you have. But then it's also preseason doesn't give you the feeling of a regular season, because a defensive coordinator is not going to show his hand in the preseason. But then you walk in there week one and you're going against the Baltimore Ravens. You're like, what just happened? And so it gives you a chance to sit back and go, wow, look at how Ryan approaches the game. Look when he's in the facility. Look at the questions he asks. Look at how long he stays at the facility. You know, look how he treats his body. And so those are really good things when a young quarterback can see that to help them understand what it's going to take for them to get to that level.
So a lot of quarterback talk, of course, as we're just a couple days away from the draft, Mark. One of the interesting storylines that has come out this year has been the S2 testing. For so long, the Wonderlic was the test everybody followed, and now it's been the S2 testing, and some of the scores have leaked from some of the quarterbacks. When you were a general manager, when it comes to analytics, and I know they've come further now and they have more tests that are available, but how much do you play that into a role, and how much do you factor it in when drafting a guy?
I think it's a very fair question. You know, the hard part about S2 is it's only been around about 7 years, and although that's a long time, it still doesn't, data-wise, give you enough data, I think, to be, like, certain. Like, remember, as soon as we saw the story about Stroud, what was the big thing? Well, Brock Purdy scored, like, 95 last year. Well, he still was Mr. Irrelevant, so no one really seemed to care enough to draft Brock Purdy because he had a good S2. So it still obviously doesn't have the juice, because I don't know if there's enough data behind it, but you have to account for something. It has to mean something, just like the Wonderlic. To me, the Wonderlic was, like, if a guy scored 5 or less, there's a learning disability. It doesn't mean he can't learn football. It's just that he may be dyslexic or there's something going on. When a guy got 8 or 9 or 10, you were kind of wondering, like, because the Wonderlic was based off of 50 questions, and every question got harder and harder, even though they were kind of the range of questions, whether it was a math question or a grammatical question or it was a vocabulary question, they got harder and more difficult to do as you progressed in it. So, you know, if you start skipping number 7 and number 8, number 10 is not going to get any easier. So you realize that there might be something in terms of how the person learns. And then, you know, the quarterback, he kind of always wanted the one leak to get 20 or better. Stroud scored terrible on the S2 from what has been leaked and reported. Having been around Stroud, I didn't feel that kind of a and I've spent a couple hours around C.J. Stroud. I didn't feel that, like, lack of, like, awareness, and I didn't feel that lack of, like, being able to process. And so he's going to be the most interesting case study S2's ever had.
Yes.
Because somebody's still going to take him. And I say you give it, you know, 1 or 2% of the evaluation, but it's more of like the opportunity to bring these players to your facility and spend that 24 hours, especially if you're considering drafting C.J. Stroud, of how did he process information in your building? Like, go distract him over here, bring him back in the board. Go distract him over there, bring him back to the board. You know, do the things that you can do to kind of get a sense of what's his ability to learn football and how a football handles, because it's still different than even S2 testing.
Former GM Mark Domenech is on with us. Mark, you obviously sat in that general manager seat during draft night. Rand Carthon, it's going to be his first ever draft here. Do you remember what your first draft was like, and just the emotions going through your head?
Yeah, it was it was very emotional. It was very exciting. You know, the hard part for us is it turns out, looking back, the 2009 class wasn't a great class just in general. I mean, there's good players in it. And, you know, I ended up moving up a little bit to take a quarterback in that draft class. And so, but it wasn't the who's who of draft classes. And so that's kind of a unique thing. Like, you're kind of stuck. Like, Rand is stuck out there, like, with this class. And I like this class to an extent. Like, I really like, you know, second, third round, you know, and some of the value you can get in some of these spots. But, you know, this class is a good class on paper, but it's not one of the better. It's not like the 2011 class, which was one of the most elite classes of all time. You know, so it, every year is a little different. You get judged on it. But I think for Rand, I mean, it's what you've always kind of dreamed of, being able to, like, oh, I get to write the card, or I get to call the card. And so it's emotional, but I, you know, and I'll share you guys, like, I've seen the movie Draft Day. I admit it. But, you know, there's one part in that movie that's real. And that's where Kevin Costner, if you've seen the movie, He needed some time just to get away from everybody and just think about what he was going to do. And I think that's the one thing you've got to do. And the other thing that Rand, if I were giving him advice, and I did not talk to Rand ahead of time, is you got this chair because of what you were able to do as an evaluator. And it's so hard as a GM, because I fell into this too, that you want to make everyone feel involved. And sometimes you can almost over, like, well, you know what, he really likes him, so maybe we should go that direction, instead of saying, no, I don't really like that player enough, and why am I leaning toward, the coach comes in, it's like, I've got to have this guy, he's amazing. You're like, well, he's going to coach him, so, you know, I'll just move him up the board a little bit. No, stick with your convictions, because you're the one that's going to get fired in the end. And that's a really hard thing to sadly learn and do when you're trying to bring a building together as a new GM.
We're talking to Mark Domenech, former NFL general manager. Yesterday, Rand Carthon used the phrase posturing, that's what GMs are doing. I have been known to maybe call it line season as GMs try and move up and down in the draft. But what are kind of the next couple of days like of, as you're talking to other general managers, as you're looking at this draft as a whole, because I think there's a lot of talent there, you might want to acquire more draft picks if you're going in like the Titans and only have six. So what are some of those conversations like, and how do you kind of weed through the, you know, minutiae, so to speak?
Well, the big thing I do, especially over the weekend and into today and a little bit tomorrow. Tomorrow's kind of the icing on the cake day, where you actually have your board pretty much, that should be set day. You know, I'm reaching out to clubs that have multiple picks and rounds and clubs that don't have picks and rounds, and just kind of see if there's going to be some interest in, hey, like, I know you have two threes or three threes. You know, when it gets into that world, like, let me know what your thoughts are, because, you know, or do you have any interest in possibly moving one of those threes for either a picks later in the draft or maybe a future pick, and kind of get a sense of what they do. And the other part my pro department's supposed to be doing right now is, we call them squares, right? And so there was, you know, 16 and 15 or 16 and 16 based off of, you know, your team being in the NFC or AFC. And their job was to call all 16, either director of pro, director of player personnel, and find out who's on the block, like what player might be available for trade. I don't want to be surprised on draft day and somebody trades for so-and-so and you're like, I wish I'd have known he was available. So let's make sure we know what's going to happen in this draft in terms of player acquisitions, who's on the block and who's not. Call the Tennessee Titans. Is Derrick Henry on the block or not? I need to know, and I need to know what the asking price is. And so those are the things that you should be doing right now to make sure that you've got time to be able to react to them, or if you want to be involved in them. And I think that's a big piece. And then again, it's kind of getting a sense of, what do you want to do post first round, even though you're going to have third or all day Friday to kind of look at it. At least, again, you're setting the table to be one of the people like, oh, I know Domenech or Rand called, and, you know, that might be a real possibility for us. And so I think it's those things that are happening. And there is a trust I had with other GMs around the NFL that, you know, there were certain guys that I knew that if I called that guy, I knew I was going to be okay. But if I called this guy, I was going to be a little more guarded. And so it's those relationships you're a little bit tighter with that you feel like you can put a little bit more information into.
Okay, so I go back to how we started this. Mark Domenech is with us with the quarterback. And sitting there as a GM and knowing, or maybe that, you know, you're hearing the noise of, okay, they got to nail this pick. They got to get their franchise guy. What is that process like from your seat of – you see a guy and you think, you know what, this can be our quarterback, our franchise quarterback that we can build around for the next 10 years. What do you have to see in the draft process that makes you think that?
Well, I've got to get, number one, as much time as I can with the person, just to kind of get a sense and put them around some veteran players. Like when I brought him in on a 30 visit, you know, maybe I had a couple of the offensive linemen take him out to dinner and I got to be a part of it, or maybe I didn't and let those guys go out to dinner, just kind of come back to me and say, what was he like? You know, can you hold a conversation? He's a good guy. Those kind of things. Like, do you feel like he's got the it that you want to see? You know, measurables are great, but, you know, the hardest thing to measure in the NFL is heart. And, you know, that's the one thing where you sometimes, that's where most of our misses are, because there's just nothing out there that right now still can measure that. That's where, you know, Bryce Young might be 5'10", but his heart might be 2 inches bigger than any other quarterback in this draft class. And so that's the really tricky part. But I think you've got to have an understanding of what you want to do offensively and what you think this player can do in your offense, and does it work correctly. And knowing where they sit, especially the Titans, in a division that's still trying to figure out, you know, Trevor Lawrence took a big step last year, but it's still in a division like everyone's still trying to figure out who they are and who they're going to be at that spot. If you get it right, you have a chance to own the division for maybe a decade. And that's a huge choice, and that's where I think Rand's sitting there. But I would, again, say to Rand, it's your first draft. You won't be one and done as a GM. And so just make sure you like that you like the player, that you like this quarterback to the level that you feel like you want him to be on your football team, and that way you're making the best decision for what you think is the best way to build it.
Mark, really good stuff. Appreciate the conversation today. It's almost here. We'll have draft picks to actually talk about, but looking forward to talking to you again soon. But thanks so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. Mark Dominic, former NFL general manager, does a lot with SiriusXM Media now, but always brings a great insight, and there's a lot there about the draft process and what Rand Carthon is going through right now. We'll react to some of that. Take your reaction at 615-737-1025 here on Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063 The Game.